We're going to turn our attention to the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 26, which is another catechism that is also helpful in teaching us and summarizing for us what the Bible says. In this case, and today, we're going to be talking about baptism. What does baptism mean to us, and what does the Scripture say about it? And so this is found on page 33. And so there are three questions, starting at 69. And so let's respond to the questions. How is it signified and sealed to you in the holy baptism, that you have part in the one sacrifice of Christ on the cross? Thus, that Christ instituted this outward washing with water and joined to it this promise that I am washed with his blood and spirit from the pollution of my soul, that is, from all my sins, and as certainly as I am washed outwardly with water, whereby commonly the filthiness of the body is taken away. What is it to be washed with the blood and spirit of Christ? It is to have the forgiveness of sins from God through grace for the sake of Christ's blood, which he shed for us in his sacrifice on the cross, and also to be renewed by the Holy Spirit and sanctified to be members of Christ, so that we may more and more die unto sin and lead holy and blameless lives. Whereas Christ promised that we are as certainly washed with his blood and spirit as with the water of baptism. In the institution of baptism, which says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." This promise is to be repeated where Scripture calls baptism the washing of regeneration and the washing away of sins. Saints of God, we often don't look back about or think about our baptism. Too often our baptism is thought of something that happened yesteryear and has no real relevance to us today. The Apostle Peter tells us that if we are looking to grow in godliness, we will not be short-sighted and we will not be forgetful that we have been washed clean of our sins. He says that in 2 Peter 1. Baptism focuses on how we have entered into a covenant relationship with God. Baptism declares to us that the Holy Spirit has applied the blood of Jesus to wash away our sins so that we are children who belong to the Father. That's why when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we are to be baptized. That's the pattern. Repent and believe. Repent and be baptized. And that's also why when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we are baptized into the name of the Father and into the Son and into the name of the Holy Spirit. Because that's who we belong to now. We belong to the triune God. We don't belong to the world anymore. We don't have one foot in the kingdom and one foot in the world. We have both feet in the kingdom or both feet in God's covenant family. Let me take you to 1 Corinthians 6 to explain this further. This is where Paul is telling the church to not be like the world in their behavior or practices. And if you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9, it says, Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Now, this is not an exhaustive list by any means. These are probably some of the more pervasive sins that were happening in the culture of Corinth. But all of these sins fall into the category of the unrighteous. There is a perverted sense of morality. There's a perverted sense of justice in each of these types of sins. They are destructive that will wreak havoc on any civil society and most certainly will ruin any church or any marriage. Fornicator, just going down the list briefly. Fornicator is someone who practices sexual immorality. The Greek, this is where we get the word pornography, because the Greek word is pornea. Anyone who acts on their lusts, whether physically or digitally, is considered a fornicator. Idolaters. In the Greek, this word means image worshippers. These are people who venerate people, places, or anything in creation rather than worship the one true God. And when you refuse to worship the true God, you will inevitably worship something else and believe in anything else. Adulterers refers to those who break their marriage vows and choose to be unfaithful to their spouse. Homosexuality is a perversion of God's created order who are attracted to the same sex. Sodomy is the act of homosexuality. In very few sins in the Bible has caused God to burn down cities, and this is one of them. Thieves. Those who have a complete disregard for someone else's property and will do anything to benefit themselves. Covetousness. This is a person who is overcome by greed and always wants more, never has enough, and always wants more that is due to him. Drunkards. These are people who cannot control their addiction to alcohol in order to escape their pain or their responsibilities. Revilers are abusive people who whether physically or emotionally. Extortioners are schemers. They rob people with their scams and deceptions. Now, I know I went through that quickly. We might think that going through this not so great list of sins, the Apostle Paul is going to finish by saying, aren't we so glad we're not like those people? Now, those are the people over there that are not going to enter the kingdom of God, and we are safe in our own little bubble, thanks be to God. That's not what he says. And that's not how he applies this list. He says something quite shocking. He says, and such were some of you. Meaning these are people sitting in church, worshiping God, who used to live these types of lifestyles. They were a part of the world, and their identity was in their drinking or in their homosexuality or in their adultery. That was who they used to be. But what does he say? You were washed. You were washed. Is there any better word that the Apostle Paul could use in regards to our salvation, especially to these types of sins? Especially in regards to sexual sin. Because sin does not liberate you. It enslaves you. It leaves you feeling scarred, and it leaves you feeling filthy. But in the gospel, but in your baptism, you were washed clean of all of your sin. In your baptism, you were sanctified. In your baptism, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. Baptism is not you coming to God to clean yourself up. It's God coming to you so that you are cleansed, so that you are washed. By baptism, that means that the promise of the gospel has been applied to us. The promise that says his blood covers not just some of your sins, not just the ugly sins, but all of your sins have been washed away like water washes dirt from our bodies. Our baptism is not like a car insurance plan, whether there's certain sins that are covered, but once you exceed the limit, then you're on your own. Good luck to you and the Red Sox, right? No, our baptism is meant to show us that his grace is sufficient. So yes, your baptism happened once in the past, and that's designed that way, to be that way. But the promise of your baptism is what will hold you up for the rest of your life. Even with your past, your identity is not in your past. Because of your baptism, you are united to Christ, and you will find your life in him. Amen?